radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant. That's a G, yo. And George.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah!
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
I was just getting back to, for me, just getting back to the basics. I said just playing football the right way. For us, just going out and executing. As I know, I've mentioned that a lot, and that's what it looks like when our guys do it the right way, just eliminating negative plays offensively, putting together a solid drive, moving the football, and finishing with points. That's something that we've been harping on, something we have to do better, and we were able to do that yesterday, and I'm pleased with the outing that our guys had, and I thought they did a really good job there.
Hell yeah. Nothing makes me want to run through a brick wall more than hearing Texans head coach DeMeco Ryans talking about how his Houston Texans got back to basics in a meaningless Week 18 game on Sunday.
That's not how I thought you were going to start the show.
No, I'm pumped. I'm back.
I thought we were going to be so pumped. I thought we were going to get a Texans swarm to start the show.
I felt it. I felt it in my bones.
I felt the swarm coming.
I don't know I could quite go all the way to a swarm without several deep steel blue pills because the Texans are still dead to me.
Fair.
They're turning their focus ahead to Saturday's game against the Los Angeles Chargers. 3:30 kickoff. Chargers 2.5-point favorites. MyBookie.ag. Promo code BET975. I feel like the entire city, when it comes to this team, is looking at them the same way that prison guard P-Pants from the Green Mile looked at big old Michael Douglas. What's his last name? Michael Clark Duncan, my bad. As he is being led into the prison in that famous Tom Hanks movie from the late 90s, early 2000s.
Dead man walking. Dead man. Dead man walking. Dead man walking here. Dead man. We got a dead man walking here. Dead man walking. We got a dead man walking here.
For a sec. It's enough.
Tom Hanks steps in. That's enough. But I mean, that's what I feel like most sports talk in this city that involves the Houston Texans will be over the next 4 days. I feel like just about every person who follows this team believes they are dead men walking against a Chargers team that puts the CH in choke. And I'm asking the question to open up the show at 713-780-3776. Is it fair to operate like they're dead men walking for a home playoff game in a round where they actually have more success than you'd think?
And like I said, the Chargers don't. The Chargers don't have that playoff success. Is it fair? Yes, it's totally fair. It's not just fair, it's deserved. The way they've played this year. I mean, they don't get the benefit of the doubt that the Houston Astros got for us in the playoffs. They don't get a dust busting on Friday, Paul. No dust busters on Friday. Veto, if that's even in your thought process.
No, it's not.
I know it's not.
It's not. Even though the Chargers actually lost a game where Trevor Lawrence threw 4 interceptions in the first quarter, not that long ago. That was under Brandon Staley, not Jim Harbaugh. I am looking at this team like men who are doomed for a future execution. And I think it's fair to look at it that way, but I want people to get me out of this mindset. I mean, I'm still dealing with the anger and rage of having watched this team in person on Christmas. Somebody responded to me when I posted that rant from yesterday's show saying, get over it. No, I will never get over it. That is my January 6th. Some of you can't get over that. I will never get over that. I'll be 80 years old, riddled with dementia,
and just be rambling about the Texans losing on Christmas.
Right. Just like that meme. All right, Grandpa, let's get you to bed. Hopefully someone will give me some really nice drugs at the nursing home that I'll be abandoned at when my family forgets about me. Wow, Paul, they're so dark. Well, yes, that's the state of mind they put me in. I want someone to pull me out. Okay? I want someone to make me see the true meaning of Houston Texans football. I want somebody to make me wake up on Christmas Day like I'm Ebenezer Scrooge all of a sudden, trotting around, skipping around town, giving money to the homeless, alms to the poor. I want someone to shake me out of this because they are dead men walking.
I mean, look, they're back to basics though, Paul. Back to basics. No negative plays.
Well, there was the delay of game in the red zone. Two Laramie Tunsil false starts.
Turn drives into points. The one with C.J. Stroud, they scored a touchdown. Like they're back to basics. They're back to the Texans way after this game this last weekend. That's what I heard from DeMeco.
Football is football. And
I forgot about
Bobby
football.
I mean, there's been lots of great quotes over the course of the year. And, I mean, listen, I've got coach envy, okay? Thou shalt not covet another man's coach. Okay, well, I would like Jim Harbaugh because I feel like Jim Harbaugh would motivate me. And I do kind of get this general sense that not only are the Houston Texans dead men walking, I get the sense that they feel like a lot of things were fixed in Sunday's, one series of action on offense. And honestly, I think there's a case to be made that they could have played a little bit longer, even though it might have risked injury.
No, that's totally fair. With how bad the season's gone, the lack of ability to score points in the second half, to put back-to-back drives of touchdowns together throughout the season. I mean, I couldn't even tell you. If I was just going to guess, Paul, I bet you maybe three times this entire year they scored touchdowns on back-to-back drives. Like I'm just guessing, but it feels that way. We're like they just haven't had consistent success this year. I wish there was something I could tell people and tell you that would just say the Texans are going to fix everything. But I've got a lot of bad takes, and this isn't one I want to have. I don't want to be the guy that's super pro Texans going into this game. I do think we are overvaluing the Chargers a little bit in the way that the national media is talking about them. I mean, this is a team that their defense has been really good this year. Their offense hasn't been, excellent. Justin Herbert's been pretty good.
Oh, yeah. Just signed Ezekiel Elliott. Boom.
Boom.
Watch out.
Problem solved. J.K. Dobbins and Zeke Elliott coming to ruin the Texans Saturday this weekend. What a combo. This is like the 2013 Madden cover. It'd be incredible to have. Maybe 2015. But there's nothing that the Texans did this weekend that make me feel more of an optimist. Because like you, I can't get Christmas Day out of my mind. I do think
at least you didn't go.
That's a great point.
If I hadn't gone, I think I could talk myself into it. I could give a speech on Friday. I'd bring in the jacket. I'd bring the helmet.
I could do it. I feel like it still might make an appearance.
If someone in the organization bribes me, I will do it. Yeah. Okay. Listen, I'm a radio host.
Yeah, we'll take.
I am not above a bribe.
Hey, we'll take whatever you want.
Yeah, okay. I don't know, like a free week of Chick-fil-A. That might be enough for me.
That sounds good.
People are not helping us out here on the text line from the 409. Are the Houston Texans dead men walking? Is the question I asked. CJ is soft as wet puppy poo now, so we don't stand a chance. Soft as wet puppy poo.
I don't agree with that. I think he's played poor this year. I don't think he's soft. I know people are. I feel like that's the word "soft" is being thrown around since the tank injury happened.
But, right. Listen.
Yeah, I think that's unfair.
Billy Bob cried because he's a bit of a crier. Crying happens in football. Okay?
Jerry cried.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't even like the fact that people are trying to bring up the fact that CJ never beat Jim Harbaugh in college.
Well, this is a good point though.
I don't think it is.
Honestly, Harbaugh's going to be slightly more familiar with C.J. Stroud than most head coaches that are in their first year back in the NFL.
Yeah, but look what's happened to Ohio State since. I mean, they lost to Michigan this year, and they're a dumpster fire Michigan was most of the season. So I don't like that personally. And even the fact that last time Jim Harbaugh was at NRG Stadium and won the national championship, I don't care. I think that stuff is pretty irrelevant, honestly.
He's one of the greatest coaches in football history. Though.
That I agree with. I think the coaching matchup is clear. I just don't think what happened in college with Jim Harbaugh and connecting it to C.J. Stroud is really correlated for this matchup. I just think that part directly is not
connected. But it's another factor to add in.
For sure.
It adds to the bad vibes, for sure.
It does.
from the 281, Texans are much more who they were against Baltimore than who they were against Tennessee.
I mean, CJ only played one snap, so yes.
That was the worst possible outing for the Texans. I think they are closer to Tennessee than they are to Baltimore. They played like absolute ass in that game. But I think that the game against the Chiefs that they played, where they lost, it was close for a while, but ultimately the Chiefs outclassed them in the fourth quarter. Like, I think that's more where this team is. I'm mad about Christmas Day, but I don't think that they are bad because of that game. I just think that they are above average, slightly above mediocre.
Yeah, the Ravens beat the Texans worse than they beat the Browns this week. Like, I don't think the Texans are actually that bad.
Right.
No. It was just a very, very bad day. I agree with you that they are closer to the Chiefs. But when you say the Titans game, which Titans game is more them? The win in which TJ played one series or the game in which they lost 32-27?
It can be that team from like,
I think it's really, I would say it's closer to this game because I don't expect the defense to get torched like that. I mean, they got embarrassed by Will Levis in that game when they lost 32-27. I think you're right. They're closer to who they were the Chiefs game, where, you know, the Packers game. The Lions game, where they're competitive in these games, yes. Are they clutch? No. Are they going to overcome the final drive this year against a really good team? I think the answer to that is no. They're not as bad as they were on Christmas. It just leaves the ultimate sour taste that unless you win this weekend, we're going to be dealing with that sour taste the entire offseason.
It's a sour taste. Ginger usually works to cleanse the palate. At least that's what I'm told. It's with the sushi that you can get at HEB. So grocery store sushi is pretty damn good. From the 409, a lot of 409ers today. Oh, this is just mean, but it's accurate. Tyler and Conroe. Paul, you're like 40 with no wife or kids. You won't have a family to abandon you in a nursing home. Hey, I'm 35.
Tyler, that's mean.
I'm 35, okay? Yeah, really, that's the only part I take issue with. I mean, the rest of it is actually accurate.
I mean, yeah, but like Bill Belichick, like he's getting, you know, he's going to get hitched at some point.
What, you think I'm going to be at age 70 marrying someone who's 25?
Like Al Pacino's like 89 having kids with like 20-year-olds. So like,
what's the difference between Al Pacino, Bill Belichick, and Paul Gallant?
Nothing.
Oh, lots of success.
Hey, your success could still be in front of you.
Other than that, I mean, I'm taller than Al Pacino, so that's cool.
That's true.
From the 409, Texans versus Chargers, yah, yah, yah. Who are we taking in the draft after this first-round exit? Oh, God. No, we're not doing draft talk. Here's one, finally, from the 903. Texans are going to swarm the Chargers. No reason as to why, but finally, some positive vibes, because we all think this team is dead man walking.
They're going to swarm. I mean, look, the Texans have a chance this weekend. They do. The Chargers are not an explosive team. The best matchup this weekend might be the two Georgia rookies, McConkie versus Kamari Lassiter, honestly. This is a very competitive game in terms of, like, stylistic fight. Like, if this was a boxing match, like, you would be saying, like, this is a really good matchup that we're going to see in the ring. These teams are very similar to each other. It just really feels like the Chargers have the big leg up in coaching, and that's really nothing against D'Amico Ryans. It's just what Harbaugh has accomplished at every level, any school, any program in the NFL he's been with. It puts them above the rest, and then their quarterback is definitely better right now. But we've seen what CJ can do in the playoffs, like what he did against Cleveland. Now, Cleveland was a dumpster fire, but at one point that was one of the best defenses in the NFL.
Cleveland's defense going into that game was good, and they did that without Tank Dell. I mean, that was Nico Collins. They did have Brevin Jordan, for what it's worth, and he did have that big catch and run. I don't know why all the Browns players ran out of bounds in pursuit on that play. From B. Hannon on Twitch at ESPN 975, Texans have a more talented roster, Chargers the better coach and quarterback. I do think the gap between Herbert and Stroud right now is slight, but Herbert does have the upper hand because Herbert's not turning the football over, and Stroud is.
Yeah, and Stroud's making throws this year that are super, well, I guess we can't say super uncharacteristic because it's such a short sample size of his career in the NFL, but they're very different, you know, this year than what we saw at the beginning of the season and then what we saw last year as well. So, yeah, Herbert's not going to make those huge mistakes, it seems like, with Harbaugh as his coach because they kind of limit him. Like they really are running a more simplistic version of like their offense, like where Justin's not going to make the huge mistakes, but he's got a super powerful arm. He's a really talented quarterback. There's a reason why we all thought he was a top five QB for a while. And then like the production fell off with Staley there and people bumped him down finally. But yeah, they have the better quarterback in this game. I'm not picking the Texans, but I think this game's going to be – like, I don't think it's going to be a blowout this weekend.
Well, yeah, I
that would shock me.
I think a lot of people are saying it's going to be a blowout. I think they're wrong.
Yeah.
But I also feel like they're a dead man walking. Like, I just think what they have not been able to do this year, the biggest of those things, be consistent, even for a game, that is what is hold. That is why everyone is holding up. Because going into this year, you thought that they – could get to another level, and what they have shown this year is no, this is exactly what they are. I'm not about to help you out with any more hype for the Houston Texans. Let's just dive right into a couple of not deep steel blue pills. Sorry. I got none. I looked. I really looked. I'm trying to figure out a way to be like the happy little Zoloft guy. You seen that commercial?
Yeah.
It's an old commercial, the Zoloft. It's this antidepressant commercial. And there's this little blob, and he's like walking around downtown. And
yeah, I remember
rains
that.
Rains on him. And then he takes the pill, and then he's like hopping around. It's like the little blob's kind of cute. I wouldn't mind it as a pet. But anyway, I'm not giving you that. I'm giving you the opposite of that. It's time for a battle red pill because everyone is dumping on the Texans right now.
Heretics dare to question the Houston Texans' greatness.
How dare you?
Is it bullshit?
Wrong, 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 wrong. Wrong, 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 wrong.
Or will you take this battle red pill?
You take the red pill, you stay in Wonderland, and I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.
First, I'm just going to give you a depressing Houston Texans stat. Derek Barnett has more touchdowns than Robert Woods, John Mechie, and Xavier Hutchinson combined. Again, these are four, five, six wide receivers. He is tied with Dalton Schultz, though, in touchdowns because he has two.
Yikes.
After yesterday's fumble return for a touchdown.
I got a depressing stat for you.
Huh?
The Texans are 1-6 in their last seven games with C.J. Stroud under center against a winning team. And have been outscored 196 to 106 in those contests.
Okay, that's bad.
That's really depressing.
31-2 definitely made that a lot bigger of a margin, but it was still a pretty big margin before that.
Yeah, it was still a 60-point margin before that.
Oh, man.
I didn't realize they were 1-6 in their last set. So the only one, game they won is against Buffalo.
Mm-hmm. Listen, for what it's worth, though, you know, the Texans they've won five times in the wild card round. They've won five times in that 5:30 on a Saturday window. They have won significantly more often than they have lost. I believe they are 5-2 wild card weekend. Huh?
Mm.
That was a bit of a deep steel blue pill for you.
I mean, look, so history tells you the Texans, they're going to win this weekend.
They're good in the first round for what it's worth. I mean, that's not good enough for anybody.
I mean, look, like you said, you referenced it in the first, as we were talking here. If CJ Stroud throws four picks in the first half, I'm putting my money on the Texans in the second half.
Yeah, you're still in it.
History repeats itself like it did with Trevor Lawrence and the Jags.
I will say, washed up Joe Flacco not walking through that door. Connor Cook not walking through that door. Andy Dalton not walking through that door. There's been a lot of good draws for the Texans in those early matchups. Now, for some of those, they also had quarterback issues of their own, so... You know what? I'm willing to give it to them. They are wild card round. I don't want to say champions because they have lost twice, but they're wild card round veterans.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's why they kick off.
Wild they know how to win in the first game of the playoffs.
Yeah. It's just ingrained in the franchise.
Mm-hmm.
3:30.
They look
Saturday
up.
Wild card round. That's our time.
They see all those AFC South banners from the 2010s, and they're like, you know what? If they could do it, we can do it.
Yeah.
They're trying to make Christmas Day a tradition, but no, this should be...
Please don't.
This should be the Houston
please don't
Texas
make
tradition.
Christmas Day a tradition.
Please don't. It'll make me sad, because I'll go back. I know me. I'm stupid. I will go back.
At least, maybe it'll be a road game next year if they make it a tradition.
Yeah, that would be nice. I hope that's the case. Rex Ryan, who wants to be the head coach of the New York Jets and thinks he's the best candidate for the job, was asked about Texans Chargers. After finding out about the Saturday 3:30 Central Time matchup at NRG Stadium, here is what he had to say about it.
Chargers wind up the 5 seed. They're going to Houston. What's your reaction?
Yeah, I mean, I never realized the Chargers got a bye, that they qualified for a bye. But they did, because they're playing Houston. This team right here, number one in the National Football League in scoring defense. And by the way, Quint Johnson, he actually can catch the ball.
He was unreal.
He had 13 catches. Remember, this is the kid that couldn't catch a cold. Like, all of a sudden, now he's catching the ball. They're moving it. They can pound you with the run game. They also realize they have a Hall of Fame quarterback type.
Hall of Fame quarterback type in Justin Herbert.
Huh? Bye week? That feels harsh.
That's overstated.
That's harsh.
That's bombastic Rex Ryan, who also said he's the best man for the Jets job and said he's better than Ben Johnson. With a straight face, while saying he loves him.
I mean, you know what? Like, you got to think highly of yourself, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But a bye week? No. God. It's not a bye week.
The Texans are SMU against Penn State? Oh. that's what they're Indiana?
Suggesting.
Yeah.
They're Indiana?
Yeah, yeah.
Man.
Actually, that's not a terrible comp.
Tim Hasselbeck, not to be confused with Matt Hasselbeck, but Tim Hasselbeck did play in the NFL at times, is also an ESPN analyst, like his brother Matt. This is what Tim had to say about the Chargers and their physicality.
It's Stroud has just been, they haven't protected him. They've done a good job keeping him upright. And when you look at the Chargers, you've got a good defense, and they put pressure on the quarterback, and they'll hit you. And I think that that's really what it will end up coming down to in that matchup. I just think when you look at, you know, what the expectations were for Houston, how they've played, they obviously rested guys today. But, like, you know, it just hasn't felt like the same momentum that you would think that they would be heading into the postseason with. And I think when you look at the Chargers, I think it's just going to be a physical brand of football that might be a little much for Houston.
A physical brand of football that might be a little much. D'Amico Ryan's slammed that on the bulletin board. Slam what Rex Ryan had to say on the bulletin board.
Yeah, he just called them softies.
He basically did.
Yeah, he just said they're soft. They just can't handle it. Is he wrong?
This is going to be a little pissed from this perspective. Like, only I'm allowed to say this about the Texans, okay? Only I'm allowed to say this. No one on ESPN is watching the Texans. They're not. Although maybe they were forced to on Christmas.
I don't know. Yeah. I think they are maybe the most irrelevant playoff team we've seen in so long. I know The Athletic just doesn't care about the Houston Texans, so they don't employ a beat writer. But you go to ESPN.com, and unless it's a piece from DJ.
Joining us at 1 o'clock today.
ESPN.com, The Athletic, The Ringer. Like, there are no stories about the Texans and the first-round playoff matchup. Like, there's nothing written about them. Like, they're just completely irrelevant.
Walking.
Yeah. They're just irrelevant to the playoffs, honestly.
I don't think this is the most irrelevant. Maybe the most irrelevant team in this year's playoffs.
This year's playoffs.
Yeah,
yes.
Okay.
That's what I mean. Yeah.
I was going to say, other Texans team has been more irrelevant.
No.
Brian Hoyer team was more irrelevant in the playoffs.
But what's strange about this is, like you're CJ Stroud. And people are just like, man, we're not going to write about him. We're not going to focus on him.
Are they as irrelevant as the Broncos?
Bo Nix is a good story. Like, people care about Bo Nix. Like, people.
And I think
Steelers are also playing worse than the Texans.
Yeah.
For what it's worth. I mean, they're similar. The Steelers have been pretty bad the last couple weeks.
But at least with the Steelers, like, people are, like, questioning Mike Tomlin now. We're like, no one's questioning D'Amico. No one's questioning CJ. They're all just like, yeah, they're there.
I also think some of it has to do with those teams are playing the Bills and Ravens. And we saw the Texans against the Ravens. If the Texans weren't playing the Chargers, I feel like it would be even more throw these teams out. Like, if the Broncos or the Steelers were playing the Chargers, I feel like you'd have more pundits being like, this is going to be a competitive game. No one knows who's going to win this game. Where this one, it's, you know, dead man walking.
Are the Texans dead men walking? Is it fair to say that? 713-780-3776 to call to text. That's on the table. Sean Mace behind the glass. Joe George to my right. I am Paul Gallant here on Gallant and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 on Twitch at ESPN 97.5. On YouTube at ESPN Houston. I look like apparently a homeless person.
You look cold.
And or Ned Flanders. Yeah, I'm wearing a very baggy hoodie and a Syracuse poofball hat. So if you want to look at some strange man with a mustache giving you all these piping hot takes, you can see it in crystal clear HD. Up next, what did we miss over the weekend on yesterday's show, we certainly missed J.J. Watt once again putting on for his city in what honestly was the only moment worth watching in Sunday's Texans-Titans game. You'll hear it. Stick around.
ESPN 97.5.
Did you catch everything this weekend in the world of sports and beyond? Neither did we.
I do not recall that, okay?
It doesn't ring a bell.
Sorry, I have no recommendation of that.
No idea.
Absolutely not.
And now, in case you missed it, with Gallant and George.
If you watched Texans-Titans on Sunday, all of it, God bless you. God bless you. You care. You care about that team. I was still miffed by Christmas Day. And also, there wasn't really a whole lot to play for. They did score a touchdown on the first drive of the game. But if you watched it the whole way, you might, just might, have seen J.J. Watt cut into the Texans-Titans game with a Texans-Titans update, which I've never seen before. Good job by CBS allowing this to happen.
New York for an update.
Guys, this must be a mistake, but I'm going to do it anyway. We've got a Houston Oilers fumble picked up by the Houston Texans and ran back for a touchdown. And yes, that does appear to be two times in a row that the Houston Oilers uniforms have been worn against the Houston Texans, and the Texans happen to be 2-0 while wearing them. How about that?
Thank you, JJ, for that history lesson.
That was beautiful.
It was well done by JJ. One of the more bizarre things I've ever seen during broadcast. Though.
I am wondering if that was a mistake or if they said, you know what, JJ's very passionate about this.
Let him cook.
The NFL has been weirdly quiet about this back and forth. I do think it is a good little bit of seasoning to put on top of a game that, let's be honest, outside of Nashville and Houston, no one gives a crap about. I wish that there would be some leaning into it. I think that the next step, Amy Adams Strunk, if you have any balls, and I guess you are a woman, but you get what I'm trying to say here. You got to wear them to town. You got to wear them to Houston.
Yeah.
You got to wear them to Houston. Wear the road versions. The road versions look just as good as the away version, or the home versions. They're all whites. They look good.
Yeah, that just kind of brings it up a notch if you wear them here. But really the problem is, and they should never wear them against the Texans honestly, ever again.
No, I like it. Keep wearing it.
I think you got to be good. Like, if they were good, if they weren't losing to Case Keenum and Davis Mills, like, there would be something to this. But, like, you're losing to backup quarterbacks when you're wearing them. It's embarrassing.
Keep wearing them.
Like, it's like, when Shador Sanders or Cam Ward is your quarterback next year, maybe I'll feel differently. Like, but I do agree. Wear them to Houston. If the NFL even let them do that. Like, they should.
Might.
They should.
They might. Generally, what they do is you're only allowed to wear those helmets like twice a year.
Mm-hmm.
You're only allowed to wear a specific amount of uniforms over the course of a season too. So if they were to wear the road Oilers uniforms, they would have to give up one of their god-awful monstrosities that they've taken to. I don't know why they moved away from the look that they had in the late 90s, early 2000s, which they had when they went to the Super Bowl, because it looks a lot better, the white helmet thing.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, like, they look closer to the Texans than they did before, because they have the navy blue helmet as well with the sword down the middle.
Yeah, it's the whole thing is just, I mean, JJ was great there. Like, at least it gave us some kind of entertainment value in this game. Mm-hmm. So I appreciate it. Thank you, JJ.
Did you watch this live?
No.
I don't think anyone watched
this live. I had no idea it happened.
I feel like this was, that's why I think it was on purpose. I think it was a made for social media moment because they knew that no one was watching this game.
That's a good point, John. Yeah, because I only found out about listening to an NFL podcast yesterday. I had no idea it happened.
I just saw it on Awful Announcing, like, whatever, it's Sunday afternoon.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, okay.
How about that? Continuing, in case you missed it, anything you might have missed over the weekend, listen, sorry, any pot shots at James Harden, I'm going to take advantage of it and play it. I don't know who The Miz is. I guess he's a wrestler. Mm-hmm. Is this WWE?
Yes.
Okay. And Raw had its big debut on Netflix yesterday,
yeah,
right?
at the Clippers.
Arena. Okay.
Yeah.
So he's at the Clippers game, and The Miz is interviewed by the Clippers TV network. They asked him this question. They put him on the spot, and I don't know if Miz is a heel. Is he a heel?
Yeah, kind of, yeah.
Okay, well, this is perfect. Here's how Miz being asked about who'd be a great wrestler on the Clippers went down.
Bob, as you look at these Clippers behind us, which of them would make the best WWE wrestler?
James Harden, just not in the playoffs.
Come
regular
on.
Season James Harden is definitely the WWE superstar. Then.
I'd trust him all season long if I were you, but I do think he'd be great. I think he'd be fabulous. The brand, the beard, it's all there.
It is. It's all there. The whole brand is there.
The Miz, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Lauren, thank you, I guess. That was great interview until he fired a little bit right there. But, hey, he's in the entertainment business, right? That's what he does. Got to sell tickets.
They were so uncomfortable.
So uncomfortable.
But it's accurate. I mean,
it's so accurate.
The Miz is exactly right. I love how the sideline reporter says, I trust him all season long. Like, no, you don't. What are you talking about?
All regular season long. And even then, he's fat. Yeah. I'm actually surprised you don't know who The Miz was. Were you not a big Real World person?
No, I don't watch reality TV. I don't watch reality.
Gotcha. Well, yeah. Jersey Shore
was the only show I ever watched.
Yeah, Real World versus Road Rules. Like, he was actually one of, like, the first cast members of that.
Wait, is Road Rules another reality show?
It was, like, the Real World versus Road Rule. And Road Rules was, like, the mid-2000s, I guess it was, on MTV. And he was a big part of that and then eventually transitioned into wrestling.
So people were on the road and there were rules?
And there was games.
Okay.
Yeah.
And there's Real World.
That surprises me. You don't
even
watch
Big Brother.
Yep. I don't watch Big Brother.
Okay.
But yeah. I mean, look, he's not wrong, though. But it's a very uncomfortable thing to say on a home broadcast.
I don't get why it's uncomfortable. Like, it's funny. He's a heel. Like, they're still like, oh, God.
It's also not like James Harden has been a Clipper for 15 years.
Right.
And it's like, you know, it's like, I don't know, if he took that shot at, like, Jim Kelly on a Bills broadcast or something. You know, like, guy that's, has he lost in the playoffs one time with the Clippers? Like, who cares?
Now, it would have been better if that, because Raw was here the week before. It would have been so much better if Miz was here in Houston and said that about James Harden during a Rockets broadcast.
That would be nice.
I think Craig Ackerman actually would have given a round of applause.
Yeah, Ackerman would have.
Ackerman would have loved it.
It would be nice. But that moment was great. I loved how uncomfortable.
God,
it
you know, so uncomfortable. You cannot ask him that question. You have to know not
that. Because
he's not going to look at the roster and go, number 40, the big white guy. Like, yeah. He's not going to go, Zubac, I think, would make a great wrestler.
Like,
he's just going to go with the one guy he can name on the team.
Yeah, it's either going to be James Harden chokes in the playoff, or Kawhi Leonard will be a great WWE superstar if he was ever in the ring. Like,
yeah.
Like, those are, like, your only two options.
He's not going to go, like, Norm Powell. Love him.
Pat McAfee show on Friday was making some picks for the Week 18 slate of game, and I didn't see this coming. He went after the Colts.
Had a lot of people on that Colts team, hopefully, last game, as Indianapolis Colts. That's kind of my hope. I wish we could transfer portal the whole f***ing team.
To take Ohio State?
We had like 70 guys to hit the portal. Can't do it, though, in the NFL, I guess. I've been trying to research it.
Thank you for your services. And
just in case I wanted to go pitch myself as president of the Indianapolis Colts. Not that I ever would, but I put a plan together. And how to get rid of this entire f***ing roster, except for Pittman. I want Pittman here. I want Pierce here.
D-Buck.
Let's keep Quentin Nelson. Let's keep DeForest Buckner. Let's keep Kenny Moore. I like Kenny Moore. Other than that, see ya. Every one of them. Goodbye. Take a hike. Thanks for coming. Jonathan Taylor, trade his f***ing ass out of town. How do we go about doing it? You got a second-round pick? Sweet.
I think those all made ESPN.
Yeah. Missed a lot of the Pat McAfee stuff last week. I kind of forgot about that you weren't here for that. He was going scorched earth all week last week.
On the Colts.
And then
fired Gus Bradley. They have not made any moves.
But then I think it got weirder this weekend. Did you see what Zaire Franklin did?
Yeah, I saw that.
Where he went up and, like, pretended to shake the hands of Pat McAfee, a.k.a. an empty suite, because the whole McAfee suite was empty during the game. Strange. Pat was talking about how, like, the players, like, people, like, are trying to basically remove his access from the Colts.
Mm-hmm.
They're a mess, and I cannot believe that they're keeping everyone besides Gus Bradley. He's the problem. Not your quarterback tapping out.
Chris Ballard's been there 8 years.
Did you see the stat, or I don't know if it's really a stat, but it's just the observation that every team in the AFC South has won the AFC South twice during Chris Ballard's reign as the Colts GM, except for the Colts.
That's insane.
That's really tough.
The Jaguars have won it twice. The Titans have won it twice? Yeah, I guess with Vrabel.
With Henry. Vrabel.
Damn. Yeah. There you go. So that's in case you missed it. We do have a call about the Chargers and Texans, 713-780-3776. My question for you are, is it fair to say the Texans are dead men walking before this game Saturday, NRG Stadium? Jason joins us. What's up?
All right, man. So I think that's a bit disingenuous. And let me explain why. And genuine question for both of you guys. Is there a position group that you would say the Chargers have that are substantially better than the Texans?
Nope. Maybe receiver at this point in time just because of all the injuries the Texans have suffered.
But I mean we picked up Deontay Johnson. He should be able to fill right in.
Don't try to use Deontay Johnson to get me. That guy's been on four teams in 2 years.
There was a reason why the Ravens were so excited to pick him up.
And then they got rid of him.
It didn't work out for them.
Because the Steelers got rid of him.
Very good
the Panthers got rid of him. Like, no, don't try to make Deontay Johnson into this good receiver, dude.
Okay, so, I mean, we're still looking at, what, we got Nico Collins, which is, I mean, we go, tell, if we, okay.
And McConkey and Quentin Johnson, like, you have Nico Collins.
Yeah, that's it. And okay, so outside of those two guys, I mean, we got these guys beat in running back. I'm going to say defense is a wash. I truly think that it's probably going to be a 14-10 type of game.
I could see that.
I don't see it being very high scoring at all. But that's kind of what my question has been this entire time. What makes these talking heads so sure that this game is completely lopsided? What position group just completely dominates the other? Y'all have a good day.
Appreciate the phone call, Jason. I think from a national perspective, it really is about how the Texans are playing.
Yeah.
Not about positional groups that are better. Because we talked about it earlier. I mean, if you do look at the rosters, top to bottom, the Texans do not have the edge at receiver because of the injuries. But, I mean, defensive line, even if the Chargers have Joey Bosa and
Cleo Mack.
Right. They got some good guys. But, I mean, you got Will Anderson. You got Danielle Hunter. And mm-hmm. I really like your defensive tackles. Your linebackers are getting back to full strength. Like, it's not about the rosters. It's about your quarterback who's not playing very well against their quarterback who has been very efficient. And it's about your head coach who does not seem to be getting all of the little things ironed out versus Jim Harbaugh, who has gotten a lot more out of that roster than anyone expected him to get in year one. Like that's what it's about. It's not about the rosters.
Yeah, I mean, because the rosters is how the Texans became one of the biggest disappointments in the NFL. Like you look at their roster on paper going into the season, and it's why the hype train was out of control. We were all excited because they added Stephon Diggs, and they added Daniel Hunter, and they added all these pieces.
Yeah.
And then they drafted very well, clearly, again, this year. But then we see the product on the field. Like, it's not about, so cliche, but it's not about Jimmys and Joes. It's about X's and O's. And the Texans players are good, but they've been terrible this year. Like, on paper, the Texans should be a way better team than they've been. And that's why everyone thinks, including us, thinks the Chargers are going to win this weekend.
I was listening to Dominique Foxworth on Ryan Russillo's podcast, and Foxworth talked about how it's not just about the talent in the playoffs. It's about what teams are capable of scheming up. And while I think D'Amico Ryans will probably have something interesting to try to combat Justin Herbert and try to force him to turn the football over, and they are very good against the run, which is something that Jim Harbaugh acknowledged. But I really wonder about Bobby Slowick's ability to draw up any offense where, when I look at the Chargers and what they want to do, which is run the football down your throat, which the Texans have shown in the last couple of weeks, maybe they're not as good at stopping as they were earlier in the year. Hopefully Azeez Al-Shaair's return fixes that. I feel pretty good about whatever game plan they're going to draw up. And that is something that D'Amico Ryans hopefully will get better at as time goes on. But Bobby Slowick, you know, we're all kind of meh on the guy right now.
Yeah, I mean, we're begging the New York Jets to hire him so he can leave town because they're not going to fire him. So, yeah, it's look, they can do the, they will, it will be a competitive game this weekend. 14-10, totally could see that. I mean, you've got offenses that have really kind of sputtered out this year. You got defenses who haven't typically given up a ton of points on either side of the ball. Like, whatever the under is, I would feel comfortable probably placing a wager on it. But I just, it's nothing against the box score and the depth chart looks like. It's just what we've seen this year. There's no reason to believe in the Texans. Sorry.
Tyler has a thought on the Texans at 713-780-3776. Tyler, you're on Gallant and George, ESPN 97.5. What's up?
Hey, what's up, guys? So you're pretty much hitting the nail on the head with that. Bobby Slowick's still the offensive coordinator. If they're not dead men walking this week, they're definitely done next week, unless somehow the Broncos and the Steelers both win their games. Just, I cannot forget how the Texans ruined Christmas either.
Thank you. We'll never forget.
Honestly, if you want the Texans to win two playoff games, you might want them to be, you might want the Chiefs next week. I think you might have a better chance against the Chiefs than you would against the Bills or the Ravens. That's crazy as that sounds.
I'm not even saying that. I'm rooting for that exact outcome this weekend. Like, you want, you do not want to go through the gauntlet. you need help. You need a lot of help, you know?
Yeah, it's like there's no good second round matchup for the Texans. So if they win this week, like, that's congratulations. Like, then you achieved what you did last year, and you will have beaten this year in the first round of the playoffs a much better football team than you beat last year. Mm-hmm. Cleveland was kind of fraudulent there with Joe Flacco. We all knew it going into the game, but the defense was good. If you can beat the Chargers on Saturday, that is a much more impressive playoff victory than the game was last year. So at least that's something that could be a positive in your favor for this season.
But the problem is, it's hard to accept it. The funny thing is, like, they win. This city is such that because they've seen the Texans win in the first round and not win in the second round so much, it's not enough. And I do find it funny because there are a lot of cities that would kill for just one victory. Hell, I mean, the Jets died just to get back in the dance. I'm sure you, Joe, as a Bears fan, would like to see a wild card victory.
Yes, but
it's different because there's been five wild card victories since 2011.
Exactly. Like, the Bears have made the playoffs twice since they fired Lovie Smith in 2012, okay? Like, they're a disaster. The last time they were in the playoffs, I watched a football bounce off the goalpost twice. Happy anniversary.
Oh, what was that? Was that called the double doink?
The double doink. Happy anniversary, like, yesterday or 2 days ago.
Damn, you even remember the day.
No, I saw it pop up on Twitter. It makes me sad every time I see it. But, like,
that's your never forget.
I think the Texans fans, rightfully so, shouldn't be just, like, happy with a playoff victory this weekend.
No.
At some point, especially with C.J. Stroud as your quarterback, the expectations for this franchise should raise. And it should raise beyond just winning the 3:30 Saturday playoff game. Yeah.
Especially CJ Stroud is your quarterback and the offseason that you had and the offseason that you were. And I mean, it wasn't all like just pumping tires. Like, it was reasonable to think that they would take a step forward. Like, they did make acquisitions to improve this team. It's just none of it really took it didn't take. It's just so many other things went wrong that you make all these moves. It's so exciting before they play any games. And then, you're right where you started.
In some ways, they did take steps forward. I think their defense is better than it was last year. Mm-hmm. But their offense took a step back, and it almost takes out the step forward that you made on that side of the ball. DeMeco Ryans, head coach of the Houston Texans, had a press conference yesterday, and he talked about the key to playoff success. It's taking care of the little things.
At this level, right, if you make a mistake, like, it can cost you. It being every game is sort of like that, but here in the playoffs, even more so because, right, all the teams that are here, they deserve to be here, right, and they wouldn't be here if they weren't good teams. So if you give good teams, like, more opportunities to go score, they're going to find a way to score. So you cannot have, right, the mental mistakes here in the playoffs, right? You cannot have the penalties, like, all those things where field position is definitely a huge battle, and we have to win that field position battle each and every game, and it's even more paramount now. But it's just a matter of being on the details, man, being confident in what we're doing and going play.
The thing they've been talking about all year that they've never been able to actually get done. I wonder if at this point D'Amico's throwing up his hands privately and saying, like, I just can't get them, at least the majority of the roster, to clean these little things up. Because that is really what it will come down to on Sunday. Like, you can't do this dumb stuff you've been doing all year. And we've come to the point now where we are expecting at some point or another, whether it's an illegal formation or it's a man downfield on a screen that actually works or it's a false start or a delay of game, you're expecting those mistakes on offense. And that's before we even talk about C.J. Stroud with a misfire or a turnover.
Yeah, and that's why I like the idea of like Bobby Sloak being so safe kind of like blows my mind, because I just can't imagine what D'Amico is thinking. It's just like not having a false start doesn't feel like a – they happen. They do not happen to the frequency they happen in the Texans very often. Two good football teams. The delay of games. That means operationally you're failing. Getting the play in quickly – in time to your quarterback to his team, and then just being aware of the you know what your surroundings are when you get to the line of scrimmage and knowing how much time you have left on the clock, like that stuff's inexcusable at this point in the season. It shouldn't be happening in week 18 versus the Tennessee Titans. Like that stuff can't happen. You can't be unaware that there wasn't a reset. You got to know what's going on around you. And yeah, I don't know, like he's right, it can't happen, but no one believes it's not going to happen. Everyone has belief that the Texans are going to have a positive play, you know, on the first couple plays of
the drive. They will do some good things.
And then they'll go backwards.
Like, that's like, the fear.
Like, yeah, like Joe Mixon, 9-yard carry, first play of the game, wouldn't shock me. And then Laremy Tunsil is going to drop you back 5 yards. And then C.J. Stroud is going to get sacked. And then you're going to punt the football.
Yeah.
Like, it'll happen. Your first drive, probably.
Right. It'll happen at some point. It might be the first drive. It might be the second drive. But, like, they've lured us in before with quick starts. And, hey, Sunday, great. Quick start until the delay of game in the red zone. And the dude, Laremy Tunsil, false starts, blah, blah, blah. You can't do those things. D'Amico knows you can't do those things. And I wonder if D'Amico knows that his team is incapable of going through an entire game without making one of those little fumbles. And hopefully, I mean, we are looking at them as dead men walking right now. Hopefully next year, some of those things get cleaned up. He's Joe George. I'm Paul Gallant. We got Sean Mapes behind the glasses. Gallant and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.